Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, the trial begins today. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
Yep. Derek Chauvin on trial for what he did to George Floyd. Now, if you only saw the media specially edited version of what happened there, you think this is a slam dunk case, which is the problem. But America will learn in the coming weeks that there is a lot more, I hope they'll learn, to the George Floyd story, that it's not black and white at all, but very gray. I've got this morning from the Minneapolis Morning Journal News, which is their main daily there. And this is a real good wrap-up. It's from June of 2020. And this is what happens in a lot of these cases. Where, you know, Jacob Blake is another great example, where really key details, like Jacob Blake had a knife and refused to drop it when getting into the car he was stealing with three children in the back of the car. Kind of important. Yeah, those details that get reported locally but not nationally as the media manipulates the American people. There's a lot of details like that in the George Floyd case. And I'm wondering two things with this, and this trial will be very, very telling. The first one is whether the American people will be allowed to know the things that have been reported by the mainstream media in Minneapolis. Like that horrible chokehold we saw with the knee to the neck, it looked terrible until you find out that he was trained to do it by his police department, that it was in the manual, that the purpose of it's called the unconscious chokehold, is to knock the person out, and that it is to be used when they are having a drug overdose to prevent something called excited delirium, which can cause a heart attack. So the whole case rests on this idea that he's been tried and convicted in the media of being a racist. And that racism could be the only possible motive for this. No one has ever told the American people this is what Officer Derek Chauvin was trained to do. One of the exhibits at trial, and this has been around for months, Lee, is a training slide. And it's going to be very interesting to see, can they keep the country from seeing this stuff? Because it's going to be broadcast on court TV live. You could see this whole thing if you want to see it. Are they going to be able to repress the training slide? And it shows officers with the knee to the neck, exactly as Chauvin did, and instructs, this is what you are supposed to do.
Well, and also be interesting if they...
So, I mean, there's your motive. I can't comprehend how motive can be racism if it's in the training manual.
Well, plus the whole thing about the cause of death, according to the coroner, was not asphyxiation. There was no damage to George Floyd's neck.
Or his brain.
And he died of a drug overdose.
Yep. He died of a drug overdose.
And I've been irritated with the American media keep saying that he was killed by police. No, he died while in police custody. That is the one factual thing that happened. He died while in police custody. And to say that he was killed by the police is incorrect, according to the evidence that we have so far, according to the coroner's report and everything else that we know about the case. But, of course, that is the narrative that has been pushed by the media and, of course, cost this nation about $2 billion in damage to several metropolitan areas, that among other cases.
Here's a quote from a local Minneapolis prosecutor in neighboring Ramsey County, so it's one county over from where they are. It's hard not to watch the video and conclude that the prosecutors will not have any trouble with this case, said Susan Gartner, the former head prosecutor in neighboring Ramsey County. But it's not that simple. Oh, no, it's not. Not when you have all the facts. And as we have reported, NBC, and they report, they rehash this here. This is a Morning Journal editorial. As they rehash here, quite simply, this was used, the same chokehold, over 200 times, 237 times to be exact, by the Minneapolis PD in the 5 years before George Floyd's death. It is designed to knock out the suspect. That is why it's called the unconscious chokehold. And so people will say, but he left his knee on for trying to hate him. You're supposed to. The goal is to render them unconscious. That's the goal. It was used 237 times in the prior 5 years, resulting in people being rendered unconscious 44 times. So this is not new. This is not something Derek Chauvin did because he's racist and no other reason. And besides, you could tell he's racist by looking at him because he's white. That literally was the media's reporting. And they knew better because what I just read to you came from NBC News. They reported it locally. They've known this the whole time. They've also known what I know from looking at the autopsy report. Yes, I actually read it, that he had more than two times the lethal limit of fentanyl, the drug fentanyl in his system. He had inserted it rectally. He admitted that on camera, and he'd already been telling police officers he couldn't breathe before they touched him because he was having a classic drug overdose. That his lungs at autopsy were so full of fluid from the drug overdose that they weighed more than two times what normal lungs would weigh. So these are shocking details, not to those of us who've gotten real information on this trial and watched the local news, Lee, as I always do in these cases. Because you could see the lie as the local news moves to the mainstream national level. You can see the important facts that muddy the waters being stripped out in favor of a it must have been racism narrative. So here's a question. This is what's going to be fascinating. We know that justice is no longer possible in the federal court system. It's simply it just doesn't happen. It's just not possible when there's any sort of partisan issue involved or a person who is believed to be partisan. Will the jury here be in such terror of the Antifa and Black Lives Matter activist who did $500 million worth of damage to Minneapolis? Not million, billion. $500 million worth of damage to Minneapolis. That they're going to vote to convict this guy and it doesn't matter what's said in court.
That's going to be what we'll find out.
Don't be surprised if that happens because they're going to get the activists will get their names. The activists do not care about the facts. They care about the narrative. They're very much like the media. They are not interested in the facts and they are interested in burning things, looting things and hurting people. So, you know, the fact that they're having this trial locally, that they haven't moved it, I think is a huge miscarriage of justice because these jurors have seen firsthand the hundreds of burned businesses. And, you know, in Minneapolis, you can't rebuild your business till you pay your property taxes. And a lot of these businesses can't pay their property taxes because they can't open. So you drive around Minneapolis to this day, it looks like a burnt out war zone. And so if you've seen that as a jury member, you can only correctly conclude if you vote the wrong way, they may well be on your front porch with an accelerant. And you've also seen, if you know the local, you know, and every intention matches of burning your house to the ground, maybe with you in it, this is what they do. And if you, because they've done it in Portland. And also, if you've watched the local news, you know what happened. You know the police turned that precinct over to the protesters and let them destroy it. You know that. They went, oh, well, they need to work. Get some of the anger out here. Have it. It's not that they captured it. So what will happen when those same protesters are on your front porch with the matches in the accelerant? Will the police come? Good question. Don't know. You also watched what happened to the McCloskeys. You watched that. And you're wondering, wow, will they come to my house if I try to defend myself? Will I be personally destroyed by prosecutors? Should I just let them burn it? Will that be enough? I mean, these things are going to be going through jurors' heads because they've seen them up closely.
Yeah, this is going to be in the hands of those folks, and they've got a decision to make.
I mean, to me, the absolute gravest, grossest miscarriage of justice here is that if we are truly horrified and appalled by what Derek Chauvin did, then you know who should be sitting, who should be on trial today?
Yeah, it should be the authorities.
Yep, the
who
police
were
chief.
The ones that were,
police
know,
chief.
Yeah.
Had, let's try him. I want to try him. I want to try that guy. I want to put, he should be charged. These policies were put in place in 2012. He was in the office. He mandated this. He trained his deputies to do it. He let them do it over 237 times. So I'm going to lose it if I hear that this is Derek Chauvin's fault, but not somehow the police chief's fault somehow. Not the city council's fault, not the mayor's fault, because it's absolutely their fault. If anything went wrong that was done by that procedure, that is not the fault of the officer at all. It is the fault of those who trained him to do it, encouraged him to do it, and then put the slides with the photos out to show him how to do it, and then let him do it over and over. And you know, don't be surprised when we learn Derek Chauvin's done this before. And so of the other officers on the scene, one of them was very new, and nothing was said because it was what they were trained to do.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So the real question that'll be answered with the Derek Chauvin trial, which starts today in Minneapolis. Democrats know this. They have so intimidated the Supreme Court that they have it on a very short list. They have so intimidated the Supreme Court. So are they going to be able to intimidate a court to convict this guy? Not because the facts merit it, but because of terror, of literally having your house burned to the ground, being canceled. If you vote not to convict, I mean, can you imagine what happens to you when the media gets your name? If it gets out that you voted not to convict Derek Chauvin. But what a travesty of justice it'll be if he is convicted. It'll do permanent damage to, honestly, any police department's ability to recruit. If you follow your training to a T, which is exactly what he did with that chokehold, and you cause no physical damage, no strangulation, no asphyxiation, and the guy dies of a drug overdose, you should go to prison. No officer in this country no matter how good, no matter how closely he or she follows the training manual and their training can survive that. If the political winds change and your color, your skin color is the wrong color, you will be used and it does not matter. There is no way to keep yourself safe by doing the right thing, by following protocol, by following the, by, you know, doing it by the book. There's no way to keep yourself safe. You literally cannot become a police officer at that point. And, you know, I got to tell you this, that George Floyd tape is heartbreaking. Not the small clip the media played over and over, but the whole thing. You know, I usually watch those, and by the time I'm done, I'm filled with a sense of rage because the perp won't stop. The perp takes the police officer down with him every time. They're told over and over and over to stop, and they don't. And because the perp happens to be black and the officer happens to be white, a narrative is then written. It doesn't matter what the facts are. And you think to yourself, if you had just stop, just listen to him, do what the rest of us do. Just stop. Obey the commands. Do not put yourself in danger. Do not put the officer in danger. Do not destroy his life. It's always a he. He's always white. That's the narrative. And they don't. They won't. They're too selfish. And I don't have any of that with George Floyd. Because George Floyd's tape, if you haven't watched it, the real one, not the stupid one they played over and over on the air with the knee to the neck, where Officer Chauvin is perfectly following his training. That is exactly what he was supposed to do in a drug overdose, and George Floyd was having one. No, watch the longer tape. I watched it, my heart was broken. George Floyd wasn't resisting arrest. That's the thing. George Floyd was a drug addict. And when he used drugs heavily in the past, he became violent. He held a gun to the stomach of a pregnant woman while robbing her. In fact, he'd been a monster when he was on drugs. And to come back from that, not many people can, but he did. He did. He had gone to prison. He had gone through a ton of counseling. And he was reporting regularly to his probation officer. Had managed to stay off drugs. We know that because he'd had drug tests. And then COVID hit. And he lost his security job. And he spun out of control again. Which, for addicts, I know I know some. I have family members that, you know, that I know of. Yeah, I know what that's like. Something, one thing will spin you out. And it spun him out. And he had rebuilt his relationship with his three children. And he'd slipped again. And so as he's standing there on the side, you know, on the sidewalk, he's telling the officers that he had inserted fentanyl, anally. And that he was freaking out. And you can see in the video, because he's having a drug overdose, you can see in the video the people watching this whole thing go down are like, man, is he okay, man? You got to get him help. And they did. But his interaction with the police is not hostile. It's the opposite of what you've been told. And people hopefully will be able to see this. The media will try to censor it. George Floyd wasn't resisting these officers. They weren't resisting him. He was begging them to do one thing they didn't do for good reason. He wanted one of them to just sit in the car with him because he was dying. And he didn't want to die alone, and he knew he was dying. He knew he'd overdosed. He knew he'd OD'd. He knew he was done. He knew that that addiction had beaten him. He knew he wasn't going to see his kids again. And that's why he said to the officer, he's sitting there in the back of the car, he's freaking out. He's telling the officers over and over again, tell my kids I love them. Tell my kids I love them. Tell my kids I love them. Tell my mom I love her. And he's saying it over and over and over again because he knows he's not going to see them again. He's not angry at the officers. They're not angry at him. They're trying to get him help. They keep calling for, the medic to come. And he says, please sit with me in the back of this car. Please, I don't want to die alone. He didn't hate these officers. They weren't repressing him because he was black. He wanted them there in that human, very human way that you do. You don't want to die by yourself. You just want somebody to hold your hand. Anybody. It doesn't even matter if you know their name. He knew he had lost. It broke my heart. He knew it. He had OD'd enough times before that he knew it. He knew he was done. And so he finally says to the officers, can I come out of the car? And asks them to put him on the ground. This is not the typical one of these cases at all. And as he's standing, before they even touch him, he's saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. He's overdosing. That's why. They aren't touching him. They don't have a knee to his neck. Why can't he breathe? We would later find out why. One of the characteristics of a fentanyl overdose, and he had twice the legal limit of fentanyl in his system, is the filling of your lungs with fluid. At autopsy, his lungs weighed more than twice what a normal set of lungs would. They were full of fluid. He drowned from a drug overdose. All of this trial, is going to run live on Court TV. The media will do their level best to keep you from knowing everything I just told you. The heartbreak of this man's life. By the end of the tape, I just want to give the guy a hug. By the way, the purpose of that neck hold when you are overdosing from drugs is to prevent something called excited delirium. That is in the Minneapolis Police Department training manual as well. Because when you're having a drug overdose and you're running around like a maniac with this kind of delirium, you can have a heart attack. That's why they knock them out. That's why they use the unconscious chokehold. And that is why you put the knee to the neck. So the question we're going to get here answered, will any of the facts matter, or is terror of Antifa and Black Lives Matter violence so extreme that it doesn't matter what's presented in court? A terrified jury will convict. Going to be an important question answered here.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Read this text. This is from William's mom. William was a 12-year-old boy who touched my heart last week. Honestly, it was one of those experiences that, you know, like in life, one of the more humbling experiences that I've had. Poor William, 12 years old, regularly listened to the show with his dad. And his dad had cancer and was dying last week when he called me at the beginning of the show. His dad was still alive and he was asking for prayers and for a miracle. And so I put that out to folks. I didn't realize at the time how sick his dad was. And he was still tuned into the show. And that, again, that was something they did together. And he was tuned into the show as his dad was dying. And by the end of the show, his dad had died. And so he stuck with us for the whole ride that morning and was listening to the show. And I get it. If that's your connection with your parent, that's the thing that you do together. You have that thing. It makes sense he would have been listening to the show. So I wanted to read this. This is from his mom, Kara, and she wanted to thank you. She writes, "Tara, my name is Kara Miller. I am 12-year-old William's mother. I can't thank you enough for being so nice to him. His father was Timothy Allen Miller. He was buried on Saturday in Goose Creek, South Carolina. William listens to you every day. It's something he did with Tim. God will bless you for what you've done for this child." But this is the part I want to read for you. "Thank you. Thank your audience for being there for Will." And the audience just really uplifted him. And so many of you texted in who had lost your parents as children or had lost your parents young and just wished him the best and were praying for him. And so many of you have texted me to ask, "How's William? How's he doing?" And so I'm going to definitely keep up with William and with his mom, and just wanted to thank you this morning for being so supportive of him last week. It was one of the most remarkable shows I've ever done. And we will dive back into that as the show unfolds today. Another texter writes, "Hey, Tara, I've been clean for 10 years. It is sad. George Floyd was an addict who had been using again, would have died either way. If they convict the police, we will be on our own. The police will be done. It's sad. He did overdose. And it was obvious if you watch the unedited video." Yeah, the unedited video is heartbreaking. He's crying. He's dying. And he knows it. And he says it over and over that he's dying. He knows he is. He knows he's failed. He's not going to see his kids again. It's over. The disease has finally taken him. And what is really remarkable about that first part of the George Floyd video that I hope the country will be shown unedited, it's out there if you want to watch it, is that there is no acrimony. There's no anger between him and the police. They're not acting like vicious racists who are thrilled to have an opportunity to hurt a black man. That's not it at all. The way the media has painted this, it's not even close. His beef with the police is that he wants them to sit in the back of the patrol car with him. Well, they can't. You can't lock yourself in there with a perp or put yourself in a small, you know, space with somebody you're arresting. You can't do it. And so he wants to come out and be with them. And so he's making them a deal. I don't want to die alone. Can you put me on the ground? So they do. And that's where the chokeholds came in. This is a quote from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. It's a local newspaper there in Minneapolis. It's from June 6, 2020. The city's already burned. We've already seen $500 million worth of damage because the public wasn't told the full story of George Floyd on purpose, because this city and this burning and the destruction was to be used to get rid of Donald Trump. So it was useful. Let me read you just this one paragraph from the Star Tribune. Mary Moriarty, chief public defender in Hennepin County. So she's the head defense attorney in Hennepin County. Quote, "We look at body cam, we look at dash cam," she said, "and we frequently see officers put their knees in clients' back or neck." Frequently? Why would they do that? They're all racist. No, it's what they're trained to do. It's policy. It's what you're supposed to do. It's in the manual. In fact, when it's in the manual like that, you have to do it. Somebody drug ODs, they're running in circles screaming with excited delirium. They have a heart attack and die. Guess what? Lawsuit. It's right there in the manual. You were supposed to stop him. You were trying to stop him. Why didn't you, sir? So will the public be allowed to know this? Will this actually reach, you know, common knowledge level finally? Or, and this is the fascinating part about this, and again, I think it's an absolute travesty of justice that this wasn't moved out of the Minneapolis area, because, again, $500 million worth of damage was done there, and the people who will serve on the jury will have seen that. And there will be absolute terror of that. This will be my house. Will I be beaten? Will I be canceled? Will I be tarred as racist? I'm not sure it's possible to get justice in this case, no matter what the details are. Let me just kind of quickly present you with what the jury has seen. This is from Fox News, a couple of months after the burning and the looting in Minneapolis. So if you're a jury member from there, you know what might come to your front door if you vote the wrong way, even if after hearing this testimony, you find this man innocent, which is the only thing you can do. You've got to have motive for a crime like this. He was following his training. Derek Chauvin was following his training. We may not like the way that looks on the video. It doesn't look good, but it was department policy. And there were three reasons to do it, and he followed it to a T. Drug overdose was one of them. Okay, and can you turn the audio back on real quick? Here we go. We'll see if we can get it to work.
Well, the governor is estimating that damage and losses to businesses could total $500 million. I want to point out what you're seeing behind me right now. This used to be Bling Bling Beauty Supply. You can see it was gutted and it was torched. In all of this, 1,500 businesses were hit. The most hit, restaurants and retailers that looters attacked and essentially ripped all the inventory off store shelves. But if you look across the street here, this was a massive retail complex with a T-Mobile, also a Foot Locker, a massive furniture store that was gutted and burned to the ground, reduced to rubble. But still, months after the riots, businesses are still unsure if they will reopen, and they're also unsure if when they do, their customers will come back.
Big damage happened here is that the entire neighborhood is down, no business going on, and we disconnected from the customer. That's a big loss, and it's not going to be easy to get reconnect to your customers.
I'm also going to wait till after the trial of the four policemen is done, because if the mob does not like the decision of the jury, we could have rioting again, and I don't want to be burnt out a second time.
So far, just 20% of insurance claims have been paid out to businesses here in the Twin Cities. For commercial property, $46 million in payments have gone out, but that's really just a fraction of what has been filed with insurers, over $229 million. But it's not just businesses that are worried. Residents are too. We talked with one resident who defended her dad's condo building from being looted and burned. She tells us the police have not picked up multiple times since then, that she has tried to call 911. So she's thinking about moving her dad out of Minneapolis because it's not safe.
10 of us literally stood on the street Wednesday night with nothing except like big mom energy, you know, going up to looters and arsonists, like, you're not going to touch our building.
And Neil, another hurdle that businesses are encountering, if you're wondering why there's still rubble here when the riots were months ago, it's because according to a state law, they have to pay their property taxes before they can clear their business lot.
So you see the terror. I mean, it would take one heck of a backbone as a juror to stand up to that. I mean, look, you've got the business owner. I can't rebuild my business if the rioters don't, you know, they don't like the outcome, the trial. Facts be damned. I mean, look, they try to burn a condo complex. They'll come for you. There are not many people in America or anywhere for that matter that can withstand that. You'll be tarred as a racist for the rest of your life. Again, facts don't matter in our society anymore. So this is a incredible contest to see, with the intimidation of Antifa and Black Lives Matter, is a fair trial possible? Is justice possible? Coming up on the show, why Meghan Markle is doing that interview. You know the one. You may not care about Meghan Markle, but there's a whole strategy here. The Democrat Party is grooming her to run. This is widely known in the UK, but not very reported here, which makes the whole interview make sense. I'll break it all down so you can understand what is going on. She's been groomed at the highest level of the Democrat Party to run for office. And so in order to do that, now you have to set yourself up as a victim. You have to create victimhood because they don't understand anything else. And so that's what she's doing. I'll explain coming up. Do you remember November, back in the, you know, November 20th, after the election, they finally told us the truth about face masks? They don't work. There's no statistically significant protection whatsoever. And that was the study, the Danish study. Remember, they had tried to get a publisher for it before the election. No one would do it. After the election, it was finally published. It was a Danish study. And the numbers were shocking. It was the largest ever study on masks, involving two groups totaling 6,000 people. The non-face mask group, 2.1% of participants were infected with new coronavirus, while 1.8% of participants in the face mask wearing group were infected. What does that mean? There is no statistically significant difference in your infection rate for COVID, whether you wear a mask or not. Let that sink in. That was only the first of these studies, though, and it was widely ignored by the media, the anti-science Democrats, and the media that they run. Well, here we go again. The CDC admitting again wearing masks. This is an identical finding. They decreased death rates by around 1% over a one-month period. But the results were within the margin of statistical error, which is 3%. So if you get a 1%, well, we have 1% fewer deaths, but you're in the 3% margin of error, what does that mean? Well, you could have had a 0% decrease in deaths. You could have had an increase in deaths from wearing masks. It's not statistically significant. In fact, the CDC's own study concludes daily case and death growth rates before implementation of mask mandates were not statistically different from the reference period. In other words, the control. In other words, masks made absolutely no difference. Okay, so for those of us who get honest news, that is the second major study finding that. Also, in the last month, the CDC has admitted that cloth masks and those surgical masks block less than half the COVID particles. That's also from the CDC. Yeah, but then I've got a whole stack on this. CDC Journal. This is back from October of 2020. CDC Journal, cloth masks may give users a false sense of protection against coronavirus. Well, we would find out later that's because more than half the particles get through. And we've now had two major studies, including one by the CDC, showing masks offer no statistically significant protection from the COVID. But the left denies science, and so does the media. And so we will just ignore this as if it did not happen. But it came out over the weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.